This week's two school shootings have parents, police, and principals worried sick and looking for solutions. From an unexpected place, the U.S. Secret Service, the guys usually in the business of protecting the president and former presidents, coming out with a study on protecting schools. Their conclusion is this, that there is no profile of a school shooter. But the Secret Service also believes this, that many of these shootings are preventable, especially with the help of other students and teachers. Joining us now for her thoughts on how to prevent school violence is Dawn Anna. She used to be the head volleyball coach at Columbine High School. And sadly, tragically, her daughter was murdered in the 1999 massacre. And this is just a terrible story for you to have to come on. First of all, our condolences to you. You are trying, I would imagine, to come out here and assume and push forward that school security not only is safer than it was when your daughter was killed, but that your daughter was not killed in vain. Do you think that's happened?
Well, certainly with what happened in Bailey, a lot was learned from the Columbine massacre as far as the SWAT team getting in there quickly, containing the gunman to a classroom, having a broad area in which to see him. I know that schools are constructed differently now. A lot has been learned since Columbine.
Can you please tell us the story of your daughter, Lauren, and what happened on that day in 1999?
Lauren was trapped in the library. She was shot 10 times by both gunmen. She was under a table with other young ladies. She had her arms around them. She was calm. She was telling them that everything was going to be all right. She was the only one murdered at her table. But it did take the police 4 hours to get into that library. And I don't think it is a surprise that only one young girl came out of that library alive.
And the day that you discovered that your daughter was among the victims of that terrible, terrible day, aside from obvious anger, you must have had so many questions. The number one question to your mind must have been, how does a gun get into a school?
Well, of course, how does a gun get into any child's hands? I think that's one of our problems. I mean, I have in my hand here, this is a paper from yesterday's Denver Post. This is the editorial. And there were many letters written in to the paper yesterday. And people are blaming guns. They're blaming school security being a joke. They're blaming the media for giving notoriety to murders and not to the victims. But there are many, many, many different reasons that we have school shootings, and that's why it's such a difficult problem to solve. It's not a single solution, which is the reason it's not going to be solved overnight.
And John, before I let you go, I have to ask you, you're talking about how so many different factors are blamed for these school shootings, yet they seem to happen more and more often, and many blame video games. And as you probably are well aware, a Columbine Massacre video game was actually created. And people get on these games, these dangerous games, and almost relive the worst day of your life. Do you think that these video games are detrimental? Should they be yanked off computers?
You know, I told them that I didn't come on here to talk about video games.
Oh, no, absolutely. I would imagine.
You know, and that game makes me sick to my stomach. It makes me sick to my stomach. But I have to tell you that what is lacking is that we have forgotten that we belong to each other. We have forgotten that we need to be accountable and responsible for each other, and that we need to be aware of what's going on around us. And that starts with parenting in the home, from our kids being a very, very young age and understanding what is going on at home, and making sure that our kids are empathetic and sympathetic toward others. And that does include these types of video games, that we don't hurt others because we know how that feels, and we don't reach out and do that type of thing to other people. And if that includes video games, then that means that kids don't play that type of video game.
And Dawn, thank you for answering that. I know that is a difficult question, but I think it's just so important because I too agree that these video games send the wrong message, and we live in a completely different day and age as to when our Constitution was written. And I agree with you 100%. And Dawn,
thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that difficult story. And I hope a lot of people are learning, maybe getting those video games out of their kids' homes. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
And some critics argue, though, the other side, that video games may be the source of school violence and should be banned. Games like Super Columbine Massacre. In fact, take a look. The shooter in a recent senseless attack at a school in Montreal said that this was his favorite video game, this game that was created after a deadly massacre. It's disturbing, obviously, but the question is, are disturbed potential killers drawn to this kind of dangerous play? Should we do away with these video games? Well, the American Psychological Association doesn't necessarily agree that it says and recommends that reducing the level of violence marketing toward children would be a good idea. But joining me now in Boston is First Amendment attorney Mark Randazza, who argues the other side, that video games are protected by the Constitution. And we, of course, agree that the Constitution, obviously, we live by it every day. But, Mark, don't you think that when you hear stories like Anna there, Dawn Anna, talking about these video games and reflecting back to what happened to her daughter, that laws need to be changed?
Hey, Dawn Anna made a great point, okay? This starts with parenting. It starts with responsibility in the home. The fact is, these video games are expressive conduct. They are protected by the First Amendment. Court after court has held that. And we can't allow strong emotions that say, protect the children, to make us decide that we're going to throw our constitutional values away. We can get where we want to be. Okay, if you have bad speech, speech you don't agree with, like these games, and I am fine with anybody who has a bad opinion of them, the cure is more speech, more involvement, education. And when you have a message that is counter to another message, you bring out your counter message. You don't try to suppress the message.
But bad speech never killed anyone. And I'm sorry, but Super Columbine Massacre happens to be the favorite video game of a man, a shooter, in that recent senseless attack in Canada. He said it was his favorite game. He learned something from that game, and then he copied it.
That may be his favorite game, okay? But if we're going to look at anybody who commits a violent crime and say, well, somebody's favorite game was this game, somebody's favorite book was the Bible,
right,
somebody's favorite magazine was Time Magazine.
Hey, I'd rather see somebody copying the Bible than
it.
A deadly video game. All right, Mark
and
Randazza.
I agree, okay, but that doesn't mean just because he played this game before, that does not mean that's why he did it. And that's not throw our constitutional values out.
All right, Mark Randazza, thank you so much. And we're going to be right back. The lineup continues after the break.